and Kenneth and I got out of my vehicle. One of the things I do when I get out of my vehicle, first thing is I always go like this, just to make sure my phone is there. I'm like, what? Didn't have my phone, and of course I carry my debit card on my phone, so I told Kenneth, you got to buy me supper. Turns out our friends ended up buying supper anyway, so we made it. But well, we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We're actually going to have offering at the end of the sermon, and so you can kind of consider the Word of God today and just treat it like one big offering message. But we're going to talk about giving and finances. It's been on my heart to talk about this for a while. The Lord's been speaking about it, and it's interesting. During the month of December, I've been kind of praying to the Lord, what else do you want us to start the new year with? And I wouldn't have called this. I didn't see this one coming. But the Lord's just had it on my heart. And so we're going to spend just a few weeks talking about giving and finances and prosperity. And I'm excited about it. I'm challenged about it. It's challenging me already. But, you know, one of the things I thought, well, we have offering messages in our church every Sunday, you know, and have someone share on that and me come and share the same thing. I want to be a little bit easy on you guys, right? So just have one offering message. It's going to be the sermon itself. And then we'll have a chance to respond in faith after I share. But before we get into God's word, why don't we just invite his presence, his spirit here with us. I need his help today. And as hearers, you need his help as well too. So Heavenly Father, we invite the presence of Holy Spirit with us this morning. We thank you that Lord, you are the great teacher, Lord, that you reveal truths to us. And when you reveal truth to us, Lord, it goes deep. It is something that is revealed at the spirit level, Lord. And so we declare, as we hear God's word today, Lord, we declare that our spirits are open and ready to receive your word. We look forward with faith to the truths that you have for us, Lord. We say, Lord, that we have a joy response even right now, that we receive your word with joy, Lord. And I just want to declare, Lord, that I lean on your anointing today, Lord, to share what you would have me share. Only the words that you would have me share, Lord. And so we submit to you, Holy Spirit, in this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. So if you chose to give financially to Solid Rock Church in the last year, one of the things that's going to happen, and you may have had this happen in the past, is you're going to receive a letter from the church in the next few weeks. And there's going to be a couple things in that letter, in that envelope. One of them is going to be a letter that's written by me. Now, I haven't written this letter yet. It's one of the things that's on my to-do list over the next few weeks. And then you're going to have a donation receipt, and it's usually a second piece of paper. That's how we've done it in the past, in this envelope. And that donation receipt lets you know how you partnered with Solid Rock Church this last year. And I was just thinking about this, and I'm going to even steal a little bit of my own thunder right now and just thank you guys for your faithfulness in giving to this church. You guys are a faithful church. And one of the things that we did as leaders and as directors just in the fall leading up to Christmas is we had a chance to review the finances and see where things were at. And it's just neat to see how God uses you and your faithfulness to provide not just for this church, but all the partnerships and all the things that he's caused us to do and called us to be a part of. And so it's your faithfulness and your giving that helps us and enables us to achieve that everything God's called us to do. And so I want to thank you for that. I'll have more to say in my letter, but I just want to thank you in person right now as we start the new year. Of course, with that, if you guys understand how that donation receipt works, and if you're not sure, you need to find out. But basically, you can get a tax credit, right? When you file your income tax, you take that donation receipt, and you can get a tax credit, which means you get tax back. You get money back from the government. And this is something that I encourage you to take advantage of. If the government is going to recognize your giving and your support of this ministry and the ministries that we support and put money back in your pocket because of that, let's do it. Let's take advantage of that. That's what that's for. In regards to that donation letter, though, I don't know what emotions and response that you have when you've opened up those letters in the past, but you're going to have a response. There's going to be something that you feel as you look at that amount. And I believe that the emotions that you feel and the response that you have is going to be directly correlated to your giving and the level that you partnered with Solid Rock. And if you partner with other ministries, you'll probably receive other donation letters as well. Like, for example, I know Candace and I, we support on a monthly basis Jerry Savelle Ministries. It's not a whole lot. It's only $25 a month. But each year we get our donation letter. This year you gave $300 to Jerry Savelle Ministries. And so it's quite likely that you'll get other letters as well, too. you know, I want to acknowledge that as givers, I understand that many of you partner with and perhaps even tithe at our ministries as well, too. And so it's important in our giving to be Spirit-led, and it's important to partner financially with the ministries that God's called us to partner with. But because you're here and you're fed here, so many of you choose to partner financially with Solid Rock Church, and we're grateful for that. This is going to be kind of a different teaching, or maybe a different sermon today, because I'm kind of laying the foundation for this teaching, the talks that we're going to have on finances over the next few weeks. And so I'm going to say some things here that I might not normally say in a sermon, but I want you to know, just hang with me, bear with me. We're laying a foundation. We're setting out some guidelines. We're putting some expectations in place and developing a mutual understanding so that we can move forward and talk about this with God's anointing. One of the things that I want you guys to know, and it's important for me to say this before we go any further, is I don't look at those donation receipts. I want you guys to know that. And so my motivation to talk about finances is in no way a reflection of, I just don't see them, and I don't want to see them. I don't want to ever see them, right? And so obviously someone has to see them, but it's not me. And so I want you guys to know that. It's important for you to know that. So why am I talking about donation receipts then? Well, as I said, I feel God is leading me and prompting me to talk about finances and giving and abundance. And my heart in doing this, and my desire in doing this, is to set up some of the emotions and responses you're going to have going forward as you're able to look back and see how the Lord has used you to partner with Solid Rock Church and other ministries. So we're looking at this long term. We're looking years into the future and how God is going to use you. And I want your response when you're able to look at those donation receipts and when you get giving acknowledgments of giving. I want there to be just a great response of joy and thankfulness for how the Lord has used you. You know, Candace and I, this is not to brag at all, but I'm just going to tell you our personal experience is that we've had this. You know, we've opened up those letters, and if you're at all like us, you know how much money you make. You know what your income is, right? And so you kind of have that in the back of your mind. And then perhaps you've been in a situation like us where you look at the letter and you're like, what? We were able to give that? How is that possible? You know, but it's amazing that it really is amazing to have that experience. Like, Lord, we know how much comes in a month. We know what bills we have, but you've helped us do this. This is amazing, and it stirs such a response. It's really humbling, actually, more than anything. It just stirs humility in our hearts and joy in our hearts and thankfulness for how the Lord has been able to use this. And you know what? We could give God the glory for that. When we're able to partner in that way, that's never on us. It's definitely nothing that we've done. Who brings the increase? Do we bring increase to ourselves? Not at all. It's the Lord that brings the increase, right? And so we can directly acknowledge Him in that moment and say, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've been able to do in my life and in my family as we've proven ourselves faithful to your word, faithful to obey your word. Thank you for the ways that you've been able to use this. I have a scripture I want to read for you guys in Psalm 65. This is a scripture that comes to my mind when I'm thinking about giving and partnering with the kingdom of God. And I just want to read from verse 8 to verse 13, Psalm 65, 8 to 13. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plow ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. A couple of verses, or a couple of phrases in there that just really stand out and grab me. And when I think of God's faithfulness, I agree with the last line of verse 8. Heavenly Father, you inspire shouts of joy. That's the response that we're looking for when we're thinking about our giving, when we're thinking how God has been able to use us. To be able to have that response of a shout of joy, to acknowledge God's faithfulness. Our God is a God who crowns the year with blessing, right? And that's what we want to be able to, we want to be able to look back at the past year and acknowledge, you know, these verses acknowledge that there are some clods and there's some lumps and there's some leveling that's required, and we can experience hard pathways in our life, so times that are difficult. But at the end of it all, we can acknowledge God's faithfulness. And that's our aim. That's what we're shooting for when we're thinking of finances and giving and money. And so I want to say, if you haven't experienced those thoughts and those emotions and that feeling of thankfulness as you've opened one of those letters, I want to do that for you. I want you to be able to experience that. You're missing out big time if you haven't been able to partner in that way and experience what God has for you. And what are you missing out? You are missing out, I believe, on God's will for your life, because it's as He channels abundance through us that we are able to have success in life and do His will. I was thinking about churches and small churches, and I think we can consider ourselves a small church, right? Even in Swan River, I think there's probably some churches that are larger than us. But we're a small church right now. But you know what? God can do great things through small churches, and He can do great and powerful things through ordinary people just like you and just like me. I absolutely believe that. How does that happen? It happens when ordinary people like you and like me embrace the principles of God's Word, grab a hold of them, and make the decision to obey them in faith. That's how it happens. And I was thinking, here in Swan River, we can think of ourselves and we can think, well, we're not a lot of people. You know, sometimes we're 70 people or maybe 85 people on a Sunday morning. Or if we have some visitors, we might be over 100 on a particular week. We are not a large crowd of people right now. I believe that God has growth for us. But you know what? Heavenly Father is not impressed by large crowds, right? What is He impressed by? He's impressed by humble hearts, faithful hearts, people who are seekers, people who desire to do His will, people who desire to earnestly follow after Him. And we don't have to be anyone special to impress the Lord. We just have to be someone who is seeking and earnestly desiring to do His will in every area of our lives, including this area of finances. And so that's what I've titled my sermon this morning. We'll talk about where it came from later on, but I've titled this, Seekers Always Prosper. And again, this is pretty foundational. We're just going to kind of lay the framework. But I guess if there's one thing that I want you guys to grab a hold of as we're talking today, as we're setting the framework for what we're going to talk about going forward, is that seekers always prosper. What we're looking for as we talk about principles of money and giving and abundance in God's Word is not just for head knowledge. Head knowledge comes easy, but we're looking for it to transfer from our heads to our hearts, right? That's when knowledge turns to action, when it moves from our heads to our hearts. But I have to tell you, this is a difficult subject to talk about. This is not an easy thing to talk about. As I told you, if I could pick about something, just totally up to me, if I could look through the Scripture and all the doctrines of God's Word and what I might want to share on, this isn't one I would pick. There's things that are challenging about it. I believe that people's beliefs when it comes in regards to finances, their beliefs and their emotions run deep. This is a deep thing. This is a heart-level thing. And so sometimes when we hear teaching, or if we hear teaching that challenges those deep-felt beliefs that we have, or those deeply held emotions that we have, it can be challenging. It can be something that we have to work at to keep our heart right and make sure that we're able to keep our hearts open to receive. And so that's one of the reasons why this is challenging for me. There's a verse about that in 2 Corinthians, and this is Paul, and he's kind of given the church in Corinth all kinds of instruction, and he kind of wants to make sure that they're okay, that they're still with him. And so he writes in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11, he says, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There's no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as if you're my own children. Open your hearts to us. And so Paul is pleading with this church in Corinth. He's saying, you know what? We've ministered to you in love. We've ministered to you openly. Please open your hearts to us. And so if you're in a place, and I know that you don't even know all that we're going to talk about or all that we're going to share about together, but if you're in a place where when you hear that the pastor Cam is going to talk about money and finances and giving, if that, you can kind of feel a little bit of tightness in your shoulders back here, like, I'm not sure that we need to talk about this in church. Why do we need to talk about that? You know, I would kind of take the attitude of Paul the Apostle and say, please keep your heart open. You know, I'm gonna do my best as God gives me ability to share in love, to share openly and share honestly, but I'm asking you to have an open heart to be able to receive as well. We'll do it together. The other thing that makes this challenging is, you know, the teaching, and if you know anything about Solid Rock, you know that we do believe in God's abundance, and we do believe in prosperity. But that word is a bad word. I'm just being honest. It's a bad word for some Christians. And they believe that a prosperity gospel means that you're teaching a gospel that's all about self and acquiring and gaining for your own financial good. And some people even believe that those who would teach about prosperity, even though the Bible is chock full with revelation on prosperity and abundance, some people, because of long-held and deeply held beliefs and traditions, feel that those who teach that way are twisting the scriptures for their own financial gain. And so that's another thing that can make it challenging to talk about these doctrines and these principles. But I'm not going to shy away. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to shy away from using words prosperity and abundance and increase, because when I read my Bible, those words are all through scripture, right? They're there. It's God's word. And so we're going to read his word, and we're going to ask his truth revealed to us. Not religious tradition, not things that perhaps we've made our minds about years ago, but if we have open hearts and we're open for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, it's just quite possible that he might show us some verses that bring new meaning and new life to us and cause us to walk in new understanding and so see some things in different ways. And so that's my hope and that's my desire. And of course, I know I'm kind of pointing out some elephants in the room, so let's point out one more elephant in the room. And you're thinking, well, this is Pastor Cam. He's paid by the church. Of course he wants to talk about finances, because if the church does well, he's going to do well, right? And it's possible that someone could think that way. But here's what I want to share with you guys. There's a verse from Lamentations 3, verses 22. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Actually, Leah referred to this verse this morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I want you to know that for me, the Lord is my portion. God is my source. So I don't depend. I don't actually depend on Solid Rock Church for my finances. It is my livelihood, and I do get an income, but I don't depend on this church for my finances. The Lord is my source, and the Lord is my portion. And I want you to know, this might seem a little strange, Solid Rock Church does not depend on you to meet their needs. Solid Rock Church does not depend on you for their finances. Because as a church, the Lord is our portion, and we trust him, and we believe in him to meet every need. So I don't need to preach on finances or giving or prosperity to see my needs met or to see the church's needs met. I need to preach on money and giving so that we all become equipped to achieve God's call for our life, to do his will for his life. That's why this is not even optional. That's why this is imperative that we talk about this, that we pull it apart, that we look at scripture, because it's important. It's vitally important. It's a life and death issue that we are positioned and we are equipped to do everything that God has called us to do. And we can't do it if we're bound up and if we're suffering lack and if we're misunderstanding scriptures and if there's a whole part of the blessing and increase that God wants to bring in our lives, and if we don't want to look at it, we don't want to think about it, we don't want to talk about it. If that is the case, God is not able to do in our lives what he wants to do. And so we're just going to spend a few weeks talking about it and see what he shows us, see what he gives us. Here's another verse. This is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. That's my primary job description as a pastor and a teacher. And that's the two maybe offices or anointings that God has really called me and equipped me to function in. But that's my primary job description, is to build you guys up and to equip you for the work that God has called you to do. So I have a job to equip and build up and to teach the full counsel of God and to teach the truths from God's Word so that you are fully equipped to do His good work, to achieve His will for your life. Those plans and purposes that you've dreamt about, that you've thought, Lord, that's amazing. I don't know how that is possible. Well, how it's possible, again, is faithful people with humble hearts, just willing to be seekers, willing to get in His Word, willing to learn it, apply it, obey it. That's how it becomes possible. You know, one of the things that we know is the Word of God produces fruit. And what is fruit? Fruit is just results, right? When we're up here, and if I say, you know, one of the things that I'm believing for is more fruit in my life, really what I'm, that's just, it's a Christian phrase. And really what I'm saying is I'm looking for results. I believe God's Word is true. And because God's Word is true, when I believe it and apply it, then I have full confidence that it's going to produce results in my life. It's going to change my life. It's going to change my lifestyle. It's going to change the way I live. It's going to change the way I see life. And so we believe and we understand that God's Word produces fruit. But it only produces fruit when the seed of God's Word falls into soft, fertile, open hearts, right? We're not going to talk about the parable of the sower. We know there was four kinds of ground that seed was deposited into, and it was only the soft, fertile ground that was ready to receive the Word where the Word produced lasting fruit. And so that's what I'm believing for with all of you here at Solid Rock Church. As we talk about faith and finances and giving in abundance, I'm asking you, keep an open heart. Let your heart be soft soil, open and ready to receive the seed of God's Word. And then let's expect fruit together. Let's expect results together. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's the verse that I experienced as I was reading the introduction to my new Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's devotional. They shared this verse, actually, just at the bottom of their little introduction that they wrote to the 52-week devotional. And I don't know who wrote that, if it was Sarah that wrote it or Jeremy that wrote it. But one of the points that they made with that verse in Hebrews 11:6 is, seekers always prosper because the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so that's, again, if there's one thing that I want you to leave with this morning, is that seekers always prosper. So be a seeker, and be a seeker in this area. Seek to know more. Seek to receive more revelation. Seek to have the Lord speak to you. Seek to be willing to let the Lord change, perhaps, some of the beliefs and traditions that you've maybe had in regard to, you know, to finances and giving and abundance and prosperity and all those things. Why is it that seekers always prosper? I believe one of the reasons that seekers always prosper is because seekers aren't just hearers, but they're doers as well. And of course, God's Word tells us that, right? He says, be not just a hearer, but be a doer. It's not, be not just someone who hears truth, but when you hear truth, think about how you can apply it to your life and then do it. Look for opportunities to apply that truth to your life. I have a story for you guys that Jerry Savelle writes in his book, and the book is titled Why God Wants You to Prosper. And it's one of the books that I'll be doing some teaching from. But I want to share this story with you. Let me just grab a drink of water quickly before I do that, though. Jerry says, "I remember the evening in 1969 as if it happened only yesterday. I was new to the ministry, and I had just delivered a sermon declaring that not only were our days of sickness over because of the redemptive work of Jesus accomplished on the cross, but also that His redemptive work freed us from poverty in spirit, soul, and bodily, and financially. I told of the miracles that God had done in my life, so financial miracles, and in the lives of others who had dared believe God's Word and act on it. As I stepped down from the platform after my closing prayer, I was startled when a large man appeared out of nowhere, grabbed my collar, and nearly lifted me from the floor. I want to tell you something, he said, looking as if the vein on his forehead was about to pop. I don't like your message one bit. I spent 4 years of my life in the seminary studying God's word, but instead of preaching, now I'm selling life insurance to pay my debts. You've never spent a day in a seminary, yet you're out here preaching and God is doing miracles. I'm not seeing God move like that in my life, and I want to know why. My answer to him was short and direct. Sir, if you've been to seminary, then you know a lot about the Bible, and that's a good thing. But the reason God is doing miracles in my life is simple. I'm living the Bible. That spoke to me when I read that story. Knowledge is not enough. We need to be hearers and doers. We have to get to the place, and perhaps it's a place of desperation, where we're willing not just to know God's word, but we're really willing to make the hard choices, the tough decisions, and start living the Bible, start living God's word. You know, these truths that we're going to talk about, and we're not going to really get into this much this week at all, but the truths that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, they're challenging, they're very powerful, they will change your life forever if you apply them. But you know what? They're not difficult to understand. They're just simple truths to understand. And that's really the way life often is some of the most simple things to understand are actually sometimes the hardest to kind of pull the pin on, take the plunge, and apply it to our lives. And so it's simple to understand, but it's in the application that there's a challenge, right? It's easy to understand the concept, but the challenge lies in following that concept or that truth or that principle in obedience in our lives. And so that's what I'm going to challenge you with. You know, you're going to have an opportunity to respond. There's going to be a heart response that you're going to have an opportunity to do. It can be a heart response that jumps with shouts of joy inside you and says, yes, Lord, you have that for me. I believe this about your word. I desire to do your will. I can see that this is your will for me. But then if that's your response, and that's, we're looking for that, we're believing for that together, but you're still going to have to apply. You're still going to have to make some decisions and let God's word actually influence your life. You're still going to have to put those principles into action and start living it. One of the things I've been thinking about, in this year, and some of the things that we're going to talk about this year, and it's really been on my heart last year as well, but just the aspect of foundations and building a firm foundation. We've done building projects at our acreage over the last couple of years, and foundations have been a big part of it. It's important to have a firm foundation. When we built that new shop, there's these massive posts that go deep into the ground, and then there's all kinds of, golf ball-sized rocks that get pounded in beside those posts, and those things will not move. Now that building is set on a firm foundation, and that's exciting for us. But when we're looking to build our lives, and I was blessed by that last song that we sang today in worship, when we're looking to build our lives, it is so key that we build it on the firm foundation of God's word. This is absolutely vital. And so, over the next few weeks, it's probably going to be more teaching than preaching. It might not be glamorous. It might not be razzle-dazzle, but it's foundational, and it's so important for us to have the foundation of God's word, and especially in this area, to have a sure foundation, because if we are uncertain in this area, then that affects all kinds of things. All kinds of things cannot be built in our lives if we have an uncertain foundation in regards to how God views money and his principles on finances and giving. So we need a sure foundation in this area. I believe that every believer who is a seeker wants to be part of a mission that brings fulfillment to their lives and glory to God. Every one of you who is a seeker, and there's many in this room, we want to be part of something that's greater in our lives, something that stirs us, something that draws us to a challenge, something that excites us, excites our passions, something that might not seem possible, but with God's help, we can see maybe there is just a way if God gets involved on our behalf. And that's truly fulfilling. That's truly exciting. Our mission as a church is laid out in Scripture, and we're ending up here. But what is our mission as a church? We have a vision statement, And that vision statement is to be free, full, and overflowing. Our mission as a church is to partner with the big church, all of the churches in God's kingdom. And it's said several times in God's word, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe and obey all the commands that I've given you. That's our mission, to go and make disciples in all the world, in all the nations of the earth, and teaching people to obey all the commands, or other translations say, to observe all the commandments that I've given you. And so that's our task, that's our mission as a church, in ways perhaps big and in some ways perhaps small, to partner with the kingdom of God and see that mission accomplished in the world. When we follow God's word, I believe, in the area of finances and giving, and have revelation on prosperity and abundance, that is giving us a firm foundation in our lives and in our hearts to achieve that call, to respond God's call. You know, we're not going to get into it much today, but it's important to understand that God has increased for you and I, because it's going to take increase to achieve the mission that he has for the church. A broke church with no financial resources is not able to do much to reach their world for the gospel. You know, we might be able to serve someone a hot meal and love someone here in Swan River, but we're not going to be able to have influence in the Arctic or in Russia or in South America or some of the places where we have influence right now for the kingdom because of our giving, right? We require abundance and increase in our lives. We need an inflow, so there's an outflow to reach our world for the gospel. How is this going to happen? When every believer becomes a seeker, and when every seeker becomes a giver, I believe then prosperity follows, abundance follows, and that's when the message of the gospel is going to reach our earth. Amen? So this is just a start. I know we talked about some weird things today, some things that we don't talk about too often, but it's helpful, I think, for us to have this understanding and this context. Next week, we're going to start to talk about why it's God's will for us to prosper. And we're going to start to get into that. So I'm looking forward to that. I just encourage you, even this next week, start to prepare your heart. You know, start to maybe till the soil of your heart a little bit. You know, if this is something that doesn't seem to, you know, if you haven't had your heart even stirred today, say, Lord, soften the soil of my heart, stir me up, so I'm ready to receive your word. And I just absolutely believe that if we grab a hold of these things, we're never going to look back. It's going to do great things for us. It's going to be just great value to us and build that firm foundation. Amen. We're going to go ahead now and take our offering. I just want to remind you that now, with the launch of the post, we have the ability to receive giving through a card. So if you carry your cash or check with you, that's great. And God's moved you to give and to partner with Solid Rock Church. We're happy to take those things, but if you would like to give with a card, you can just stop by the post, and we have offering envelopes there. And so basically, you fill out your offering envelope, and then you just let Fallon or whoever's back there say that you'd like to give. They'll pass you the little machine. It's just the same as paying for a meal at a restaurant. Just punch in the amount, your code, and away you go. And then you just put that receipt in your offering envelope. And so even though you might not have that right now, you can just give that offering envelope to Fallon. She'll collect those there. And then that giving gets deposited into our account, and it's just blesses us. And so I want to remind you of that option and that ability to do that. Let's stand as we get ready to give. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have so much for us. Your word is such a rich treasure of principles, Lord, of kingdom principles, Lord, that when we apply them, Lord, they bring great value to our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you that your word promises, as in the book of Hebrews, Lord, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, Lord. And so we declare, Lord, that we are seekers here at Solid Rock Church, Lord. We are people who desire to do your will. And when we hear the call, when we hear your instruction, when we hear the unction and feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, we respond in faith. And so right now, even as we give, Lord, we declare that we are responding in faith to your word, Lord. We are giving from the right motivation, from a desire to worship you. We are giving from a desire that acknowledges you as our source of life, as our source of provision, as the one who brings all increase into our lives. And so we worship you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. Our hearts respond with shouts of joy, Lord, because you truly do crown the year with blessing, Lord. And so we thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. And as we give today, we declare that these gifts are multiplied for kingdom use all over the world as we give in faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.